Tonight's spooky episode of Classics at Josie's Cafe, sponsored in part by Candied Corn, the sweet that will withstand any apocalyptic scenario. Erotic Ensemble Costume Company, whether it's sexy Dora the Explorer or hot Harriet Tubman, Erotic Ensemble Costume Company has all of your scantily clad needs. And by Camp Crystal Lake, the camping experience your kids will die for.
Welcome to the Classics at Josie's Cafe. I am Jose, and again, I am joined by Bob and Nate from the Blunderbuss special.
Hello.
How's it going?
You guys can find them on YouTube and Facebook as well. Link will be on Facebook here. Well, I have a Facebook also, Classics at Josie's. So if you guys want to join, find us at facebook.com/cafe, Classics at Josie's Cafe. And then you'll find a lot of stuff with the Blunderbuss special with Bob and Nate. A lot of stuff coming up with Halloween. And we keep going with our October scary month here. I guess you can call it a scary month.
Super spoopy.
Ooh.
Oh, my God. Don't say that again, Bob. We already had this spoopy conversation on the show.
And so today's movie is Curse of the Demon, a 1957 flick originally titled Night of the Demon, directed by Jacques Tourneur, a French director. And we learned this from watching the Total Classic Movie intro, that he actually had this all finished out and someone else came behind him and added all these extra spooky elements, which may have enhanced the movie or ruined the movie, which we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But a little bit about the movie. It's basically about this professor. His name is John Holden. He's working in parapsychology, go figure. And he finds himself investigating this mysterious actions of the devil worshiper, Julian Carswell. And so we kind of follow him throughout the movie. And right off the bat, this movie, I feel, is a precursor to movies like The Ninth Gate, Frantic. Both are Roman Polanski movies. And the movie Angel Heart, starring Robert De Niro and Mickey Rourke, they have this scary kind of noir type feel to them with satanic elements. And this movie obviously explores those satanic elements as well. So, right off the bat, what did you guys think about the movie?
I liked it, actually. It was kind of one of those, like, movies you expect to see. Well, no, obviously, they probably showed it at the drive-in theater. But, like, this is one of those things where, like, I'd say classic drive-in theater, like, fodder. Just, just spooky elements to it, you know. And then, of course, It's pretty. I wouldn't say it's slow paced. It's a pretty fast paced movie. You know, granted.
Some of it.
For the time.
For the time. You know, not like fast paced now, but right. Fast paced at least during the 1950s.
Yeah.
I liked it. I mean, granted, I would like to. That's one thing I did kind of when I heard the thing where they added the spooky elements to it compared to just having it. I guess they would have had it. Instead of having special effects, it was just kind of something they just built up with suspense.
Because
in the movie, they actually showed this weird gorilla
demon
kind of popping, and he grabs the guy. And I can imagine the original, it was just maybe the guy going,
the smoke haze that they create.
Yeah, the smoke. You know, see, and honestly, I would have thought that was just
enough, sufficient.
Just having the smoke just billow up and just see, that would have been more like, ooh,
well, yeah, it leaves it more to your imagination.
Yeah, like a shapeless being, you know.
Yeah, it's like, you know, because everybody has their own ideas and stuff, you know.
But then they add in the Chuck E. Cheese animatronic, like,
it's very mechanical. I mean, it's just like, as it's coming, you know, the arms are just kind of like doing the, like, it's clawing kind of deal, and then the legs are doing the same thing. It's like, you know, Demon Abraham Lincoln, you know, from the from the Waxworks is coming to get you kind of shit, you know. 4 score 7 years ago, blah, you know, kind of shit, you know. But yeah, they kind of hooked it up a little bit.
Yeah, I kind of think it ruins the essence of the movie because there's a lot of really good things in the movie. Like I said earlier, it does remind me of kind of like the Ninth Gate because they have this satanic cult going on. And it's funny because it kind of mirrors what we talked about with Omega Man. This is like science versus now the occult, you know?
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, what I liked about it is they did build this world really well while you're following the main antagonist, Julian Carswell, and all the things that he's involved with, especially when they go into this party and he's dressed as a clown.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that I thought is, oh man, he's brainwashing all these kids
into
all these weird satanic ritual things, you know?
And not to mention the fact that if there was an old rich guy having like, granted, this is before Michael Jackson, you know, the Michael Jackson slumberway parties. If there is like an old man
balding and a weird beard.
And a weird beard, but
he's got the devil worshiper beard.
Yeah, but as a kid, you don't know that. And he was like, hey, guess what? Old Mr. Johnson's having a birthday party. You know, hell yeah. You know, and of course, come on. As a kid, you're thinking, oh, he's a clown and there's a pony and just. And of course, granted, that's an awesome way to, bring people into the fold. Because honestly, if you do that for, I don't know, 10 years.
It does take place in England and it is out in the countryside too. And there's the small town. So, you know, that's kind of one of those elements, you know, trying to keep people from thinking that there's weird shit going on out there kind of stuff, you know. Plus, you know, especially, you know, people, you know, that's a different place, you know, going to the country in a small town. That's a different type place than it is in the city. So, you know, maybe people just kind of keep their distance to a certain extent, you know, because there's weird shit going on. Or that's maybe they never say whether or not he's a lord or anything like that. He's just a doctor, you know. But, you know, he does have that very, like, creepy kind of tone to him kind of stuff. But
I mean, if I was a kid accepting chocolate from this guy, I'd be thinking, you know, something's weird about this guy.
I don't know. As a kid, especially, like, you know, your folks are cool with him because, honestly, he wasn't that old. But I can imagine, like, his folks probably know him. Oh, it's Dr. blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, he has a birthday party. And
it was a Halloween party. Halloween party for the kids that he does every year.
Yeah.
That's the thing, he does it every year kind of thing, you know.
Say if he's been doing it for 15 years.
Yeah.
And some 15-year-old kid, you know, goes the first time. By the time he's 30, has his own kids, he's going to be like, hey, you know, let's go to the old man Johnson's place. He has a great parties and, you know, that my guy's probably second grandpa to the most.
That's a possibility. I mean, you just really don't know. I mean, they don't really go too much into
it. Too deep,
no.
Yeah.
Well, no, yeah.
Because, I mean, even early on in the movie, he sits there, you know, before the first doctor that's investigating him and his group or cult or whatever, you know, he's like, we just want to be left alone. We don't want anybody, you know, coming in on our stuff or anything like that. Just leave us alone, you know. But
I think what's happening,
maybe that's also a disguise, bringing the kids in.
Exactly,
doing,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, he's bringing the kids in.
Indoctrination.
Yes.
You know, there's that too, yeah.
Yes, and because leads me to like towards the end of the movie where that one guy is just, where they have to inject them with methamphetamines.
The guy that used to be part of his group or cult or whatever.
All I can imagine is that he was probably brought up as a little kid. You know, and he's all brainwashed, and so he's going to believe this kind of stuff because he's been doing it since he was such a little kid, which that's another reason why I feel that adding these special effects ruins it, because the idea, in my opinion, is if these kids are going through this as very little, they're going to believe it by the time they're adults. Mm-hmm. They're just going to think, oh, you know, this is real. So it's going to be all in their head. And just like the Julian Carswell guy, he obviously is all in it and he believes in it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like in your head, which leads me to like the end of the line when Carswell ends at the railroad tracks. If we haven't seen a monster at all, we've seen like these spooky things going on. We're still questioning it. Is it in their head? I mean, is the investigator, the doctor, John Holden, is he starting to believe in it? Is that why he saw what he saw? Because he's investigating, all of a sudden he starts to envision these creature things. Why? Because at the very end he says, you know, it's better not to know, which leaves that ambiguity. If those creatures weren't there and we didn't see that, we could still question it and we could still say,
yeah, at,
it's in their head.
At the end of the movie, and spoiler alert, you know, of course, this is a 60, 70-year-old movie. They show, like, the demon kind of going and picking it up and, like, rah, rah, you know. But, of course, I can imagine the original French one was him just getting hit by a train.
Exactly.
Him, like, running away, and then he kind of, like, steps into the train and hits him.
Well, you don't see it.
Well, no, the fog, that kind of, like, fog smoke, that wasn't part of the original filming.
We don't know.
I don't know if it is. Mm. Maybe it was, maybe it
wasn't. But here's the idea.
But that's just it. It's like you would have seen him up floating up in there and just like thrashing about, you know.
Well, no, I would.
You know, which I would have found that kind of interesting. Just like, you know, almost kind of like Friday 13th, the series.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the guy that has like the devil's pipe and stuff, and he would smoke it, and then the smoke would come out and then envelop somebody, and then it's like they're being thrashed to death and dying.
Yeah, but that.
But you don't see anything but the smoke.
Yeah, but of course that's kind of the point of the movie.
Yeah.
If he was just kind of running, you know, he believes himself that the demon's coming at him.
And the way the angle is with the camera, the train just passes through. You don't know if the train clipped him, or you don't know if the demon got him on the side of the train. I think that's the idea that the director was trying to convey. He was leaving it up to the viewer.
Yeah. Well,
you always do like a kind of a final destination thing where it just picks something up and like slashed his throat.
Yeah.
Like, because honestly, there's a reason why they tell you stay 7 feet away from a train, because honestly, it throws up a lot of debris. That could have been just as well the fact that, like, was he killed by the train or was he killed by a demon?
That's situational kind of thing. It's like it's going to force you into a situation to where you're gonna kind of die horribly, I guess you can say. I wouldn't say at your own hands, but it is kind of at your own hands kind of thing, you know.
But they do kind of ruin it with the whole demon picking up, because that just obviously...
He plays patty cake with
him. It's kind of funny. Yeah.
Obviously, the demon killed him, obviously. You saw the giant, you know, 50-foot demon kill him, compared to him just, like, being a dummy running and, you know, like I said, the real demon in this movie was the lack of train safety, because, you know... Running around.
Shut up, Bob. You know, goddamn like, bullshit.
Again. So,
shut up.
On the last movie, Building Codes.
Building Codes, and, you know, honestly, safety around train, which, you know, that's one of the most, you know, that's one of the most dangerous jobs compared to, like, a fire department and police department is working on the train stations, train yards.
Used to be.
Here's the thing. It's like, you know, the Dr. Caldwell.
His name is... Are you talking about Holden?
No, the bad guy.
John Holden? Oh, Julian Carswell.
Carswell, that's what it is. So horrible names. Like, he sits there and he says it, you know, a couple times through the movie. He's like, hey, we just want to be left alone kind of shit. He wants to do that, but then he invites, you know, for one, he meets Dr. Holden, and then he leaves the kind of cursed paper with him, you know, and then he leaves these weird clues and stuff, you know, to like, you know, hey, this is some weird shit, you know, but leave us alone kind of thing. And it's like, what the fuck are you doing? And then he goes out, the doctor goes out with the guy that dies niece out to Colden's place. And he's doing the Halloween party for the kids and everything. And he's like, yeah. And then next thing you know, it's like he conjures up that huge storm and shit. It's like, well, that's a vulgar display of power, for one.
That's true.
Number two, why are you even showing this guy shit? Wouldn't you be trying to, like, throw him off the fucking trail?
That is true.
In the first fucking place?
Well, that's another thing, too, is that the idea, if these creatures weren't around, I guess you could argue, well, it wasn't his powers. He just, he took this quote-unquote tornado event and just made it his own. He's like, you guys have tornadoes over here? He's like, no, we don't. And he kind of... trying to brainwash this guy.
Yeah. That'd be funny. Like, no, turns out it's just, especially since he's not around the area, turns out, like, you know, you have weird freak storms on the moors like that all the time, like just electrical storms. You know, that could just be just a rational thing. Oh, by the way, like here on the moors, we have a weird weather system. Like, you know, sometimes you'll get like...
I don't know why y'all are like trying to debunk these movies, man.
We're not trying to debunk it.
But that's the thing about it.
It's almost like you're trying to like debunk
the
movie.
The fun of the movie is like watching it and then talking about it. Well, is it real? Is it not real? That's a fun part about it.
I would have preferred the movie, like real or not real. Like, you know, you see that line and it's smudged. I'd prefer to see that where I don't know if it's real or not. But I would rather prefer it to just be like, I don't know, it's kind of ambiguous. It's like, did he conjure a storm or did he not conjure a storm? Right. Not just automatically, oh yeah, obviously he's magic. He's conjured a storm. Because
clearly he
obviously
could be bluffing.
Yeah.
Because look at him, he's at a kid's Halloween party and he's playing magician. Of course he's going to be like, oh, yeah, I did it. Look at me. You know, he's just doing these shitty parlor tricks. But then a wind comes in. He's like, yeah, I'm going to use this to my advantage. Here you go. I did this. That's the idea here.
The cat, you know, turns into a leopard and attacks the guy, grabs the poker, and then the poker burns him and stuff. You know, I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of weird shit that's fucking going on.
Well, that, too. That's really weird. I wish I would have maybe done a bit more tastefully.
Oh yeah, that scene they could have done more, because you know, but
yeah,
because I mean, honestly, like
that's, the weight of the cat would have really dragged them down to the floor.
Yeah, but that's the thing about it. That could have been one of the scenes they made. You know, what would be really cool if that kitty cat turned into a leopard, and then of course they get the guy fighting the giant stuffed animal compared to him just like the cat, like, rare, and like scratching his face.
Or here's another idea, though.
Just
going back to everything being in your mind playing tricks on you.
Yeah.
Maybe it was the cat that leaped on him, and his mind made it seem like it was a giant cat.
Yeah.
Because if it's still a cat attacking him, he can just wrangle him and get him off of him. Whereas, you know, a bigger cat could easily kill him.
Yeah.
So it might be all in his head that, oh my God, this was a huge creature, when really it was just
even though he's a man of science, he also gets easily freaked out. You know?
I'm not saying easily, because he's investigating this thing and he's understand there's a lot of weird stuff happening.
Yeah.
So well, now yeah, it's going well, into his head.
And he's coming at it from a completely logical sense.
But you know,
completely.
Your brain,
you know, granted, even though he does do studies in hypnosis and
true.
Things like that.
Well, that's the idea. But that's how we're supposed to believe it. Because if he's a doctor
and he's an expert,
logical,
in this, yeah.
Then we're gonna start questioning. Oh, well, this logical man believes it. I'm gonna believe it. You see what I mean? That's part of the movie magic.
Well, yeah, but it's like I said earlier. You know, the whole immediately cursing him right off the bat, you know, like basically condemning people to die that are investigating, but you keep like saying, just leave, we just don't want to be public, you know, nothing, we want to be private and stuff. Maybe he's been dabbling in the dark arts too long and he's just too overconfident.
Maybe
so he's just showing off, you know,
that's
in a sense.
Thing. Yeah, you're right.
You know, I think he would, now, smart is yes with the whole thing with, you know, having the party for the kids and things like that, you know, lulling the locals into a false sense of security. But then people that are actually outsiders that are investigating, it's like, yeah, you sit there and you do something, you know, instead of just like trying to throw them off, you're basically like giving them, you know, the keys to the kingdom. It's like, yeah, I'm doing some weird shit. Ha 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 ha, kind of shit. You know, you're going to die. Well, okay, that guy dies. What happens? Another guy fucking came.
Yeah.
And then another guy
compared
came.
Compared to like, oh, you know what? It's okay. Don't mention to anybody, but this is all just fucking ruse, man. This is, come on. Like, I'm going to start my own church. I'm going to start pulling in revenues. Come on. Just quit. You're ruining my business here, man. Come on. Just play along with it. Be cool.
Well,
here's
the thing, too. It's like, you know, he's got this huge manor,
I'm going to set up a weird orgy when these kids get, you know, because these kids are 10 years old, but in 7 years, they're going to be prime, you know, orgy fodder. Because that's basically the goal, is a Craigslist Satan orgy. Yeah, that's
yeah,
basically
whatever. No, but it's like, you know, like when they pull up and they're like, what the hell? He's got this huge manor and shit. You know, that's something that like a duke or a lord or something like that, somebody really rich would have. This guy's just a doctor. Maybe he was using his power to gain more power, you know, riches and things like that, you know. I wouldn't doubt that one bit.
Of course, I'd like to see it the other way around. The fact that he might have been, you know, he might have been old aristocracy, you know, because
I think they would have mentioned that, but, you know, they never did.
No, they never did.
But that's just it. It's like, you know, it's like, especially like, you know, those European movies, it's like someone's old aristocracy. They're really quick to let you know that shit.
Oh, no, I'm a doctor, but I'm also the Baron of... Baron of this manor. Yeah. Of course, granted, like I said, he could either that or he's just like I said, he could he might be old aristocracy, or he was just a poor guy and then he wants to be aristocracy. And then of course he's trying to do all
well,
this
no,
stuff
but that him. that's what he was using his acquired power to do, to sit there and to gain all this shit, you know.
And I like to argue the other way that he wasn't a cured power. He's just like I said, it's just kind of like a minister in a megachurch, you know. He's just you know, gotta get them rubes early, gotta get them in, you know.
Well, but that's just it. They don't show any of his followers except for the one guy that loses his mind and jumps out the window because he's so fucking scared.
Yeah, that's
you know, they never go into the other ones. The only other person you see, you know, that's close to him is his mother. And she goes to mediums and shit like that, you know. But even when they go to the medium, you know, he's just like, this is bullshit, whatever. And it's like, you know, the previous investigator's niece is just like, you know, hey, you know, she's, you know, his mom says she wants to help, you know. So just please. And, you know, so they go and then she's like, holy shit, that's my uncle and shit. You know, he's like, no, it's not. And she's like, that's his fucking voice, you know.
And I'd like to see another way around that maybe it wasn't. Like I said, baby.
Oh my God. It's holy just, that, shit,
well,
man.
Well, here's honestly, the thing, that's though. The whole point of the movie, Nate. The whole point of the movie, like, it's like,
maybe
it is.
For us to debate.
And for me, it's like, maybe it's not. Maybe it's not. Maybe, like, maybe they just, they knew him and they're like, hey, you know, she's ripe for the plucking. Her uncle just died. We get some fat money out of her. She comes to us, you know.
Oh, come on.
Bucks a
get
week.
The fuck out of here.
Like, you know, honestly.
Holy
you know,
shit.
That's, honestly, Nate.
It's like you're pulling out like wild straws, man. Holy shit.
Oh, but witchcraft and say you know, but that's,
here's the
that's
thing,
kind of thing.
It's a movie, man. Well, it's like it's in movie. Real life, you have people try to swindle oh, yeah. like that. But in this movie, it's like it's bringing the immaterial to life kind of shit.
But yeah,
you know?
But that's kind of the point of the thing. You know, granted. I would prefer that line to be nice and blurred, so I wouldn't. So I guess, like, are they?
Just more believable.
You know, well, no. I want to be like maybe they could be psychics. Maybe they could, you know, maybe
yeah,
or
yeah,
maybe
yeah.
they could be charlatans. I want to have that ambiguity. I don't show me the red. Make me believe it's red.
Yeah,
there you go.
Charlatans aren't going to go kill people because that's just going to put them in jail for murder.
Yeah. But honestly, like that's the thing about it. Well, it's kind of like that movie you're telling me. Remember the movie you're telling me about the red dress?
Oh, yeah. Jezebel, yeah.
Yeah, where they're like, how, you know, believe that the red dress has and...
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
No,
how much they talked up that, how red that dress was, and people sit there and like talk about how like, yeah, I remember how red that dress was, and it's like the film...
It
was in black and white, and it wasn't filmed in Technicolor at all,
yeah.
So it couldn't have been put in color.
And that's what I'm talking about. Like, sure, they could show me the demon, but I don't want to. Don't show me the demon. Make me believe in the demon. And that's the thing
yeah.
about it. Like,
yeah,
I don't give me something concrete. Give me something, you know, nebulous. Like I don't know. Like, that's make me confused. Don't actually, like, oh, obviously they're psychics communicating with Satan. Obviously, no, make me believe they're communicating with Satan, you know.
But here's the thing. Out of everything... Out of that seance, the doctor afterwards does believe it because of the paper, that piece of paper.
Yeah, he didn't want to get it back because
exactly.
he fucking knew.
And so since he believes it, then we believe it. Do you understand? So when he's in the train and he has to give the paper back to the antagonist here, Julian Carswell, Julian doesn't want it. And that's the climax of the film. Where he tries to bait him by giving him a book. He doesn't want the book. Give him a cigarette. He doesn't want a cigarette.
Because he knows. Yeah.
Well,
knows.
No, but in the very beginning of the movie, he sits there, and, you know, when the first investigator comes around and he's like, you know, stop it. Please stop it. And he's like, well, what about the paper of the runes? And he's like, oh, I flew into the fireplace and burnt up. And he's like, okay. Because, you know, he made that like, ah,
oh,
this is dead man walking face
yeah.
kind of
oh,
shit.
He, oh, you're fucked. Yeah, you know what? I'll talk to you tomorrow, you know.
It's like, yeah, he's like, I'll do what I can. And it's like, yeah, there's nothing that he could do. Now, whether or not he could stop it in the first place, he probably couldn't. And it's probably something he set into motion. Once it's set into motion, that's it. It's set in stone, you know, kind of shit. It's
right.
It's got to have some sort of ending, whether if the paper didn't burn up and he handed it. Well, they just say they had to hand it back to the person that gave it to him.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Well, see, that's the thing. If the doctor didn't care, if he didn't believe in it, he wouldn't care to give it back. That's the point that I'm trying to make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but look.
So the fact that he believes it and he's trying to give it back, and that then right afterwards, in the span of like 5 minutes, he ends up dead right beside the railroad tracks. At the end of the movie, we're like supposed to fight about it. No, it was real because he gave the paper. He just dies. No, that's a coincidence.
He got hit by the train, dude. He just reared out and just ran to the
train. It was Satan. No.
Oh, Satan. That's exactly what we're talking about. Like make it ambiguous so I don't like.
Well, no, but that's just it. It's like, yeah, okay, this demon, pseudo demon, however you want to call it. Maybe, yeah, it could be conjured. That particular one could be conjured, but it can't interact with the material world and shit. So it basically puts you in a position to where you're going to, I guess, kill yourself. You know, I mean, now if he was out in a field, you know, where there was nothing. Okay, then it's a different story and shit, you know. But yeah, he was on a rail yard, just like, you know, the original investigator. He tried taking off in his car as it's coming, and he hits the telephone pole, yeah. And he ends up in the cables and cooks to death and stuff. So
see, they're both questionable. That's the idea. They're both questionable. You know, like if he was just zapped and he's dead in the middle of nowhere.
Well, but it's
no,
also
it was Satan. Satan ran him off the road.
Well, no, it's figuring out how the mechanics of the curse works, I guess you could say, you know.
Well, that's the idea. That's the whole idea that I feel like the director was intending for. I'm not doubting that the movie is not real. You know what I mean? Like inside the movie world, yeah. That it's not real. That's not what I'm doubting. What I'm trying to say is that our character always has to grow. It has to be a round character. It has to be a character that either is weak and becomes strong, or he doesn't believe and now he believes.
Mm.
So by the end of the movie, clearly the doctor believes because he hands the paper over. That's my point of the movie.
Yeah.
So if you really pay attention, if we were having this conversation and the monster was not there, you know, where it's ambiguous, you can. Your test here, you could say, well, he gave him the paper. Why did the doctor give him the paper if he didn't believe in it?
Mm-hmm.
So since he gave him the paper, it's not a coincidence. It did happen. Why? Because the doctor believes in it. If the doctor believes in it, this is a logical man, more logical than I am, then I'm going to believe it. This is a man of science. You see what I mean? That's
No, I got you.
What we're going against is this movie would have been so much better without the cheesy effects.
Oh yeah. I mean, the showing the actual demon. Yeah,
that's all
like,
we're
you
saying.
Know, I mean, I do agree. It's like it kind of ruined it to show that. You know, it's kind of like less is more kind of thing. You know.
Yeah.
You know, especially, you know, back in the day making movies, you know, they just didn't have the technology to really be able to make something like that and then sell it, you know.
Like the original Jaws, you know, they originally had a lot more scenes with the shark,
mm-hmm.
but the shark kept breaking down.
Oh, they had so many problems with that fucking
thing.
So
instead,
so many goddamn problems.
They made it minimalist where they showed a very little bit of, until the end of the movie. After they finished up, I guess, all the problems with the shark. But after then, you barely saw that. You just anticipated the shark. That's what made it scary, the fact that you didn't know if the shark was there or not.
But they let you know. They created the atmosphere of it. And then that was a big thing. The music, the tension, you know.
And then there's a scene where there is no music and he pops out of the water. And that's intentional because you've been conditioned to know that the sharks come in. So
exactly.
You know, little things like that. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, when he's sitting there chumming and it comes out. And
man.
He's all like,
dude.
We're going to need a bigger boat.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
You need to turn this motherfucker around fast.
Yeah.
Speed.
So the other point I wanted to make was that, so let's go back to this. I guess this underworld of satanic rituals and things like that, which they didn't dive into so much. But let's just say there is a bigger world inside this movie with all these satanic elements into it. So you got to think these kids are going to grow up, become part of this satanic world, and they're going to keep going, and it's going to just blossom and get bigger. And how do these kids get become a part of it? With candy and fun games, with clowns and all sorts of fun stuff. How is that any different from, like, if you think about it, advertising in today's world, you know?
Well, obviously.
And consumerism.
I mean, we were victims of that. Like, basically, G.I. Joe's, like, think about it. They made a toy, and in order to advertise it, they made a whole cartoon show about it. You know, same thing with
Transformers. It was a good show.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Transformers, it was a good fucking show. Barbies, you know.
Now, like, Barbie's been around since the 50s.
I know, but that's...
G.I. Joe's actually been around since the 50s, so it's our G.I. Joe that we know that they did that with. Same thing, the Barbie, well, Barbie really hasn't changed. They keep trying, goddamn social media keeps trying to change her. But it wasn't until the 80s to where Barbie got her own, well, no, did, was it in the 80s where she got a show?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
All I know is Transformers is the biggest one.
Transformers, He-Man, you know, yeah, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Hasbro,
you know,
stuff. So the,
Hasbro.
Whatever.
Harsbro.
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 Harsbro. Harsbro.
So if you think about it, if all that bleeds in, starts with kids, you're selling Coca-Colas, you're selling, you know, all these high sugary stuff as little kids. When you grow up, now they're selling you sports and sneakers. With sports, they're selling you sneakers, jerseys.
You know what? Cars. Because honestly, the grown-up version of the Transformers now is now Transformers now, because that was just a... You gotta admit, the original Transformers movie was a 2 hours GM commercial. That's basically what it was.
In Fast and Furious?
Yeah. Fast and Furious.
Yeah, and
know.
It sucks, because old Transformers are better than new Transformers. Yeah.
So, which led me to my next thought. It's the Illuminati.
Oh, well, yeah, those cocksuckers. Yeah.
Really? They were just...
Yeah. Skull and Bones, Illuminati, all that fucking bullshit, yeah.
You know, I thought you were going to say lizard, you know, lizard government.
The lizard government.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Space Pope.
Yeah.
So really, so this movie is about the lizard government.
Yeah.
And,
V. Yeah, it's about V. Yeah, that,
nobody,
movie that they made.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the TV show they made.
And how nobody wants to pay the beer tab. Because that ticket, they keep passing it around.
Yeah, yeah. That's...
So that's basically what the movie's about. But... You know, I thought we weren't going to have a lot to talk about, but clearly we do. It was actually, I guess, a better movie than I thought it was.
Yeah. I mean, overall, I enjoyed the movie. You know, could they they could remake it, but, you know.
Well, they kind of have, like I said. Like, if you watch The Ninth Gate, there's a lot of similarities because there's this big book that Johnny Depp's carrying.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
All this weird stuff happening.
I liked The Ninth Gate. A lot of people didn't like it, but every time I'd watched it, there was little stuff that I would catch that I didn't catch before. But, you know, like this one, you know, I guess with it being filmed in black and white, it creates, for me, it creates
atmosphere,
like an atmosphere.
Yeah.
But I like the actors. All the actors are really good in there and stuff. You know, they all brought their own weight to the table kind of stuff,
yeah.
You know. I mean, the doctor, shit, I'm. Forgot his name again. The bad guy,
Julian Carswell.
Carswell, yeah. It's, God, I'm so horrible with names. I think I've seen him in other stuff.
Oh, he looks like the guy from Godfather. He looks like one of the henchmen.
Actually,
it's not him.
He looks like he's been in like Ben Hur.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of those older movies, which he probably has. You know, basically movies playing a Roman.
Okay.
Roman dignitary or
well, back then they used to do like so many movies.
They did.
Just hammer them in and out, right?
But that's just it. It's like, you know, watching movies like that, it's like some of those actors, I mean, they were just brought so much to that movie.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's like I was just watching him the other day. There's a younger guy, was it Brutus from Rome? I think it was.
Which one?
Brutus, I think his name was. Younger guy, seeing him in Rome and seeing him in other stuff, he reminds me, you know, not just because he's English, but the way how he carries himself, the way how he does his acting and stuff like that, reminds me of some of those old actors in, you know, like Cleopatra and, you know, those types of movies and stuff like that. You know, he just has that same, reminds me of that, you know, of certain actors and stuff. And that's, for me, that's kind of a treat because you just don't, and it's just different now. It's just way different. So, I mean, seeing this guy in the movie, you know, it's just like, oh, fuck yeah, man. It's like, I'd have to start looking up names because.
Yeah.
But, you know, he just has that kind of presence.
That's what I like about watching these intros and outros of Total Classic Movies. Mm-hmm. They kind of give you all that little backstory stuff.
Well, it's just, you know, sometimes also it's, you know, watching these movies, it's like, hey, that guy was in such and such.
Yeah.
That's such and such. Bones from Star Trek, DeForest, he played a bad guy in a fuck ton of Westerns.
Yeah.
In a fuck ton of Westerns. I was just watching one last night, and it was like, holy shit, there he is again. Yeah. It's like, goddamn. And it was after or during Star Trek.
Interesting.
So I was like, oh, okay, cool. He was still doing stuff, man.
I did see a Star Trek episode where it had a,
George Takei. George Takei.
Yeah.
And oh, my.
And he was young. This was like before.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, we were watching. Because
Star Trek was, like, what, 65? I think that one was 63, 64.
Twilight Zone.
Yeah, Twilight Zone
episode, yeah.
Nice, which we're actually going to talk about a couple Twilight episodes here in October, which brings us up to the end of this. And I just want to say that we are sponsored. Actually, Bob is sponsored by Topo Chico.
Topo Chico. It needs salt.
Actually, you're working on a signature series there, right? It has a lot more salt on there.
Yeah, it's like drinking seawater. That's
seawater. There he is. Yeah. So he's drinking right now. If you can hear him. Yep. Still working on that signature Topo Chico.
Yeah. Hopefully, you know, it's just Topo Chico.
Keeping.
It's got that whiskey.
Keep out. Just let us know whenever it's gonna.
Okay.
Topo Chico. Not a thirst quencher.
Follow Jose at Instagram:jsando83. Like the podcast? Like us at facebook.com/classicsatjosiescafe. From all of us at CP7, good night, good morning, and good day.
So it's like, you know, we never got to talk about the that other movie, The Hunting, of its lack of monsters compared to the...
Oh,
that's fine.
It's all right.